Dr. Bolger. He's going to talk about expression of putative lip oxygenase in apple. Interesting.
Good morning, everyone. We've been interested in aroma biology for a long time in my laboratory, and this work here is by Carolina Contreras, who's in Chile now. She's headed to Brisbane to give this talk, and I'm giving the talk here. So my apologies for not being Carolina today. It probably would have been a better talk, to be honest with you. But we've been working on lip oxygenase for a few years now, and I want to mention one thing about the title. The word putative is in there, and the word is in there because, at least in our laboratory anyway, we were working with the genes, but it's since been shown with some colleagues that we've been working with that the putative word can be removed for at least a few of these genes. So leave it at that. So in terms of aroma compounds in apple fruit anyway, the major characteristic aromas come from esters primarily, at least for those that we smell. When we pick up an apple fruit and we smell an apple fruit and say, yep, that smells like an apple, it's because of the esters that are there. The others are present in small amounts and sometimes in overwhelming amounts in certain sorts of oddball cultivars. So, for instance, you can find some that have terpenoids and other materials that allow the apple to smell quite different. So some fruits smell like lychee, some smell like broccoli. We've had some smell like butter. So it depends on the cultivar and how these aroma compounds are shifted. But primarily it's esters. They make up about 80 to 90% of the volatiles. And then something happens when you bite into the fruit. So when you begin to interact with the fruit, it begins to change the aroma profile in the fruit, right? So we begin to generate in your mouth a huge amount of aldehydes. And so there's this interesting reaction that takes place in your mouth, and that's in response to the lipoxygenases, okay? So the lipoxygenases take the membrane materials and generate aldehydes. And so I kind of like to think of two different pathways for the generation of aroma compounds, and it's probably true in everything that we pick up and put in our mouths and eat, right? So some of them are, I call it autonomous, so it's produced by the plant material and it's generated and we can smell it. We walk through a grocery store and we smell strawberries, right? Those are all autonomously produced aroma compounds. And then there are those, like I say, that are generated when we start to, when this young man here interacts with, actually reminds me of my brother, when we start to interact with the produce itself. So the eating experience involves both the generation of the compounds that were formed previously and their release in our mouth, and then also some new compounds that are generated. So I call that the cell disruption-dependent aroma production. So once again, there are a number of pathways involved, as I mentioned, but we'll focus in this case upon the lipoxygenase pathway. And so what I'm going to do here is just kind of lead you through it very quickly here. There's just a couple of reactions to take a look at. We start out with these 18-3 linolenic acid moieties here. They're released by lipase. This happens in a matter of seconds or fractions of a second. Free linolenic acid is generated. Then the lipoxygenase acts on it at this point here, and then generates this hydroperoxide, and then that is broken down also in a matter of fractions of a second to hexanal, and then this is cis-3-hexanal and then 2-E-hexanal. So cis-3-hexanal, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, is the smell of tomatoes, right? You bite into a tomato fruit, that's the smell that you get. So cis-3-hexanal, that mixed with hexanal itself, so those two compounds. So this is yielded from the products actually that are present in the plant materials. They could be esterified lipids, so with a polar head group, or they could be free fatty acids. And then on the other end, we have linoleic acid over here, which just has a couple of double bonds, so we call it 18-2, and then that generates hexanal down here, and then that can be converted to hexanol and then hexylesters. And this process here is not possible in disrupted tissue. Okay, so that doesn't happen in free cells or macerated cells. It happens in intact tissues. So this connection has never been made, at least for lipoxygenases in produce. So our project here, in this case, we're to take a look at the products, the substrates, and the genes associated with lipoxygenases. In this venue at ASHS, we've talked about the products and substrates in past presentations where Carolina actually was here to give the presentation, but in this particular case, I'll just lead you through those two parts of it here very quickly. So in terms of the materials and methods, what we had done is we harvested apple fruits at several points throughout the year. We did some fruit maturity analysis on some of the fruit, and then another portion of the fruit. So this is how we can track it throughout the season or throughout the harvest season. Then another group of fruit were used, and then those were used for aroma analysis and genetic and lipid analysis. Okay, so we just partitioned those. And in some cases, we took half of the fruit and treated them with MCP to stop ripening. So in other words, anything that would be ripening dependent would be shut down throughout that developmental time period. So the three different pieces, the LOX products, volatiles at 16 and 13 time points in 2009, 2010, the substrate analysis at 8 time points, and those are kind of illuminated here in one example from 2009, and then we use also those same time points for the genetic analysis. And I don't, it's difficult to see here, but basically we tracked ethylene production, and that was kind of our key, that and respiration, and we use those to determine which stage of development that we would analyze. Part of this, as I mentioned, was presented before and has been published, and so these are the LOX-related volatiles. And briefly, this is the data here itself, and so I'm just going to very quickly lead you through it. So this is for intact tissues. Intact tissues don't produce a lot of hexanal, okay? So in other words, at least in the background, if there's lipoxygenases active, they're kind of... they're not suppressed, but their products are not necessarily evident, so there's a suppression of the evidence, I guess I would say. And that may well be because in intact tissues, those products are converted very rapidly to hexanol through ADH and then hexylacetate. So these processes are very, very much engaged during the ripening process. And the other piece that I wanted to share with you, so this is hexanal, right? So here we are looking at the 18.2 product. The 18.3 product is zero, okay? It's just not produced. So it's interesting here that we've got a product from 18.2 degradation, but not a product from 18.3 degradation. So if lipoxygenases are involved, what the heck? Why don't we see 18.3 over here? Okay, we don't see cis-3 hexanal, and we don't see cis-3 hexanal acetates either, or their alcohols, or trans-2, which is an isomer of it. So that's kind of interesting. So that's the first question I might pose. The other thing is, this is in disrupted tissues here, is that we have this general loss. So just quickly to show you, like I said, this has been shown before. This is MCP-treated fruit, so the amount of cis-3 hexanal is high throughout this period where the fruit were harvested. But in fruit normally ripening, cis-3 hexanal is reduced pretty dramatically, okay? So something is happening. Either the lipoxygenase is declining, or the source material, the lipids that are responsible for the generation of this particular class of compounds that are generated in your mouth is declining. So we didn't know which it was at this particular time. So I'm not going to get into the rest of the data, but suffice to say that those are kind of the major questions involved here. And so just to reiterate, so there's a shift in the LOX pathway. That's evident. There's something going on, right? We have changes in the production of materials, and it could be through substrates, or it could be through the lipoxygenase activity. So we ask ourselves, how can hexanal increase even as cis-3 hexanal decreases? That doesn't make much sense. So there's something more going on than just a simple enzymatic involvement here. And in intact tissues is the rise in hexanol and hexylesters linked to that increased metabolism of hexanal that I mentioned that takes place so quickly. So then we went on to a substrate study after that. So here are our substrates once again. 18.1 generates no aroma compounds, all right? So 18.2 does. This generates, as I mentioned, hexanal, and then this generates cis-3 hexenal. And then the interesting part probably is that here we have the chloroplasts, primarily chloroplasts anyway. They have this monogalactosyl diacylglycerol material and moieties, very high content of 18.3. So if the 18.3 is going to be generated, this tomato-like aroma compound, if it's going to be generated, it'll probably come from chloroplasts. Okay, so that's where we might look for lipoxygenase in these tissues here, or organelles here. And then other materials, like the ER and the mitochondria, they tend to be rich in 18.2 compounds. So already we begin to see that maybe there's some way to sort of distinguish what's happening, but based on the organelle or organization that's already present in the apple fruit. And what we found actually is that this content declines over time. So the literature shows that there's about a 50% reduction in MGDG and DGDG over here. So that suggests then that the 18.3 would be declining over time, maybe leading to this loss in cis-3 hexanal production. Way too much data here, but suffice to say that the cool stuff, actually, and the kind of new stuff that isn't well known, and the publication will be coming out quite soon, actually, is that there's a nice increase in free fatty acids that takes place. So we'll ignore all of the rest of it here. The dotted lines indicate when ripening begins, according to ethylene biology, ethylene determinations. There's a beautiful increase in 18-1 and 18-2 pre-fatty acids, but no increase in 18-3 fatty acids. And that's just kind of an interesting mystery. How can you have free fatty acids generated when lipases are not specific for the selection of either 18-2, 18-1, or 18-3? They can't do it. They just don't do it. So that activity is not known. But somehow in apple fruit, they do not generate free fatty acids in the 18-3 type, but they do increase in a ripening coordinated way in the 18-2 and 18-1. Okay, so it looks like the timing is actually pretty good for 18-2 to generate our hexanal that we were interested in, at least in intact fruits. So backtrack just a little bit here. This is kind of the timing. So to show you a little bit more clearly, here's our decline in the aroma compounds, the cis-3-hexanal over time. And when we looked at the lipids, we found really only one that seems to be associated with this decline, and that is the polar lipids. And if you look at the free fatty acids, like I say, the amount of cis-3-hexanal is very, very, hexanal-generating 18-3 is very, very low. So we're not looking at that, the free fatty acids, as being a source of that cis-3-hexanal is generated in your mouth. But rather, it's probably the polar lipid decline that we're seeing here. And so we saw this 3 years running pretty cleanly. So the question then is cis-3-hexanal and hexanal from the polar lipids. And the answer is probably not the hexanal, but the cis-3 is probably from the hexanal. So that suggests that it's the chloroplast when you bite in, that the material that's resident in the chloroplast that you bite in and generates these compounds. This is primarily the MGDG and DGDG here that generates that. So in the intact tissue, it's kind of different. So here's what, like I say, we started out with this mystery. Is lipoxygenase somehow involved in the generation of aroma compounds? As I showed you earlier, the hexanal stays low. Hexanol, the product of ADH reaction, increases, and then, of course, the hexylacetate increases. And so what we found is that the free fatty acids increase in concert with the increase in hexyl esters. So it looks like lipoxygenase is probably take our 18-2 free fatty acids that, like I said, hadn't been shown before, to increase in this dramatic manner, and then convert them directly to the hexanol and then hexylacetate. So somewhere out there is a gene associated with this conversion, and that's where we were headed next. And so this is basically posing those same questions once again, and I'll just kind of get on to the gene expression material before I run out of time. Okay. So there are 22 lipoxygenase genes in apple. We cloned all of those. And these are they. Some of them have chloroplast targeting regions, and those are highlighted here in the gray area. There are another number of other lipoxygenase genes also described here. Half of them approximately are 13 loxes, which would generate our aldehydes, 6-carbon aldehydes, and then these would make cucumber aromas. Apples don't smell like cucumbers. We can forget about those. At least so we thought. Okay. So this, once again, is the experimental setup. So we had these 8 time points associated with changes in respiration and ethylene. And the work that we did, RT-PCR for those 22 loxes, qPCR for some candidates that looked like they were changing rapidly or dramatically associated with ripening. And then we did localization and then some protein expression. And suffice it to say, not much is happening with these lipoxygenases. 22 lipoxygenases and only one changes dramatically associated with ripening. Now we do have some that decline a bit during ripening, so that's this little guy out here, lock 7, and then there's a lock 6 wherever he's gone down here. 6A and 6B. 6B are declining a little bit. But this is the only one that's increasing. So if there's something associated with the conversion of these precursors, these free fatty acids, to the hexanol and hexyl esters, it's going to have to be this guy. Problem is, that's annotated as a 9 locks. 9 locks makes cucumber aromas. Doesn't seem to fit the profile. So this is the qPCR data. It basically verified everything that we had with the PCR data, and here's our guy going up 100-fold. So this is MD-LOX-1A. Okay, so that's the one that's increasing. Like I said, seems to be a 9 LOX. Doesn't make much sense. The 13 LOXs, which would be responsible for that tomato-like aroma, the production of cis-3-hexanal decline, that's pretty interesting. That decline there might be linked with the decline in substrate availability to cause that precipitous loss in cis-3-hexanal in your mouth. Pretty cool, actually. So these are our candidates for at least the crushed tissue generation of aldehydes. did some localization. MD-LOX1A, as we expected, based on lack of a chloroplast targeting sequence, did not co-locate with the chloroplasts, nor did the others that we evaluated that were in that class. So these are the 9 LOXs here. And then the 13 LOXs, a couple of them did co-locate with the chloroplasts, and that makes sense here. Here's our LOX6B, and this might be the one, that's our primary candidate for the cis3 hexanal in our mouth. Did the protein analysis. Bacteria completely failed. But we've been working with another group out of Germany. Yeah, this happens, right? So we did this with bacteria. Another group was working with yeast out of Germany, and it turns out, I can't share the data with you, unfortunately. The publication's just been sent out, hasn't gone through peer review. But the cool thing is that the data looks like there's one gene, MD-LOX1A, the one that we identified, that seems to be responsible for the production of hexanol, and therefore all the hexylesters associated with aroma compounds in apple, in intact fruit. That's the story.
Thank you. We have one little quick question. We're actually running out of time.
My apologies.
One quick question. Okay.
Too awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you.